Thank you. We're still not together yet. There are a lot of friends that are still coming. And I haven't been given any topic for the first lecture. Can you raise the hands, those who are the first time here? Please raise your hands. All the newcomers, please. I can see. Oh. They show us who is with us today. Then let me tell you a few words about what is Kabbalah all about in general, for us to be clear what we're doing here. We've gathered here today in order to have a general knowledge of the world that we're living in and what is happening to us. This is the most important question that arises in man, and he doesn't know what to do with it. We find ourselves in situations when we don't have a clue what's happening to us. Throughout millennia, humanity has been developing itself. People knew what they were existing for, what they were supposed to do. They were pushed to it by their growing desire. They were feeling that they had to develop somehow the family, the technology, the social relationships. And so we have been developing over thousands of years, and suddenly we come to a situation where we don't have an idea how to continue to develop. We don't have a desire for it. We're disoriented. Why? The humanity used to be so omnipotent, wanted to elevate above stars, to conquer everything, to turn the rivers upside down, consumption society that can go on forever. But suddenly we found out that it's not infinite, it's finite. And also, we begin to feel very uncomfortable in the world. We don't know why we're here. Children leave the families. We divorce one another. We can't even arrange our families properly. The future is completely obscure. What they're going to be, we don't know. And we come to the situation, to the state, when we seem to be completely confused. Depressions are number one illness, sickness in the world. It's already diagnosed as an actual illness. Submersion into drugs and all other problems is turning an ordinary occasion, an ordinary thing. What are we to do? A simple question arises inside man: what I'm living for? What's the meaning of my life? And that's what Kabbalah is talking about, that appeared 5,000 years ago, and she says quite simply this simple question about the meaning of life, but the true meaning of life, not just the question, why have I lost my money? And why haven't I succeeded in tricking someone or in succeeding in this world? Not that question. But in general, what is this life? Why do we need that life? That is can be solved in the framework of our world. In our world, we are living as living organisms. We are already living in it. We already exist in it. And therefore, by living in it, in this state, we cannot judge that state. We cannot understand it. We can examine, observe still nature, vegetative, animate nature, because we are above it. From above it, we're looking on the lower levels, but we cannot examine ourselves, research ourselves. We have to rise up to a high level for that. But how? And therefore the question about the purpose of the light on the level of that life can be resolved. Therefore we have to elevate higher, but we can't elevate higher, and therefore we're in depression, therefore the drugs and all kinds of problems. And here the science of Kabbalah appears and says we can do it. We can rise up to the next level. We can ascend. But for that we have to elevate above ourselves, exit ourselves, because all the nature that we're in is egoistic. It's inside our desire. We're all built an opportunity to absorb, to gather, to collect. And everything that we catch, we grab, is the sensation of our world. Where does it come from? From that volume in which we're existing. What that volume is, we don't know. In other words, forces enter us. Electromagnetic waves, which generate in us sensations of vision, sensations of hearing, and all other sensations. And outside of us are there waves, vibrations, something that we can sense. We can sense them only when it enters inside our sensors, sensual organs, and only inside them they are transformed into inner picture. What they are in and of themselves, we don't know. And for that, we have to rise up above our sensations, sensual organs, and see the world around us. We're like fish in a bowl, an aquarium. We are existing in it. We know the environment within it, but outside of it, we don't know. We don't have a clue. For that purpose, the science of Kabbalah exists. It tells us how to exit our sensual organs, our organs of sense, and to begin to feel outside of us. Practically, how can that be realized? In principle, Kabbalists are saying, it's simple to exit out of our natural desire, egoism, to stop trying to feel within ourselves and to try to sense outside of us. How that can be achieved? How can that be achieved? It can be achieved through two means. The first, try to exit from your desire into desires of the others. And for that purpose, man is given the surrounding environment. Therefore, we're social creatures. We have that trait of dependence upon the social environment. As it is said, envy, passion, jealousy, competition drag a person out of his narrow world, precisely if you use them correctly. They're not pushing us within the society for us to be, you know, in competition with the rest to profit and fill our ourselves. But if I can watch the proper environment, proper society, the right society. Here is me. That's me. Should I write in Russian or in English? I don't. What would you say? In Russian. No problem. That's me. And around me, specifically and especially, I have the society. And thus, if I'm having an egoistical view of that society, when I'm attempting to be most egoistically perfect, meaning to use them to the maximum, egoistically, but if I have a desire to elevate it, but exit myself to enter the space of other sensations, another level of sensations, then I'm having another look of the society. I'm picking a society which is not usual, but of someone, of people who are like me, who want to rise above the sensation of our world. And then I begin with the help of this, the very same attributes of jealousy, competition, and envy. Look at them and see why should be less than them. I also want to be above my animalistic self, because I is animalistic. I'm existing in my animal body, and then I'm beginning to compete them in ascension above myself in order to overcome my ego. The very same negative traits, properties, turn into positive. The means of a man's spiritual ascent, I'm competing with the rest, being better than them, of being better. We can see that any attribute can be inversed. And therefore, we're gathering together, studying together. That is one of the means through which we wish to elevate onto another level of sensation of the world. It's called the correct environment. The science of Kabbalah is saying that that is, in principle, constitutes our whole opportunity, the chance of choosing the right environment. If it is indeed true environment, I'm writing here, the right, the correct environment, society, then I should simply orient myself according to them and attempt to being inside of it and absorb everything that there is within it according to its quantity and its quality. In other words, the more the society is composed of people, the greater the number of people it has, the better an ordinary person is impressed by them. The more qualitative this society is, the people are wise, educated, understanding, and together with it they're devoting themselves and exerting themselves in order to elevate, to be above themselves, to attain another step, another degree, informational level of it, the more the society is impressive in my eyes. In other words, quantity and quality, if we multiply one and the other, gives me the force that will help me rise up above myself. But only the force of theirs, my aspiration. Because they, on their own, don't have anything more than their own desire to do it. Where can we take the means of fulfilling that aspiration, of meeting our purpose? Kabbalah says that we need for that an upper force to influence us. And that upper force is called the light. I'm drawing it within the circle. Why? Because it lies within, between us, between me and my environment. And that light, it fills that volume between us. This is the same electromagnetic waves, but on the high levels. It fills the space, the distance between us. If we, by gathering together, and each of us attempts to unite with the other, absorbing the desire of the others, together with that, we are attempting to draw that light, to evoke that light, to bring it closer to us. That can happen when we are reading about its properties, its qualities. It's called the studying of the attributes of the light. Rav writes, energy, information. In approximation to us, it's no more than electromagnetic waves, but on the high levels, these waves, we have to reach them, attain them, but most importantly, we have to study them. When we get together and study them, the qualities of that next level, we're like kids that are playing games, and with the help of these games, where they are evoking upon them or within themselves the forces that grow them, turn them wiser, under more understanding, sensing more. That's what's happening with us when we're getting together as one, and each one attempts to exit himself in connection with the others. That brings him closer to the light. Together with that, each one receives a great general desire, integral desire of the rest. And when we're studying together the properties of the light of the upper level that governs us and arouses within us all kinds of phenomena.
And in this, we perform two conditions. We fulfill two conditions. On one side, an enormous desire is fulfilled, and then they're added one on top of the other. And besides this, we call forth the influence of this light. We invoke it. And with this, there's accumulated more and more and more a potential inside of us, which suddenly breaks through, and we begin to feel it. And it's not sudden, really, because we feel it gradually from time to time. Everything is gradual according to steps. There's a disconnection from this path in one step, and then there are doubts, and then a lack of force, and then an attraction to it, and then again we begin to be inspired and pulled forward. So in our aspirations, we have these gradual steps. And precisely with these waves, just like the nature of anything, according to sine waves, you can say, or according to these impulses, we progress. This is how we aspire forward until a state in which this accumulating process finishes, and as a result, we receive the first sensation of this light, this state of this world which exists outside of us. It's already in us. It's in our desire, which is worked over by us as a result of our studies, as a result of our unification in these congresses. And each receives his own sensation of the upper state. This upper state consists of two qualities. The first quality is a desire, the general desire which everyone accumulated inside of himself from others. And this desire received under the influence of the light its new quality, the quality of bestowal, the quality of being able to sense outside of itself and not in itself. In this way, we suddenly, besides our earthly desires and their ability to feel this world, to feel what's inside of it in our desires, our five senses, we begin to sense what's outside of our five organs of perception, outside of ourselves. Everything started with me trying to exit from myself, trying to relate myself to the environment, and then the light influenced me and really gave me an opportunity to feel the environment. It's like the fish suddenly begin to feel that besides the aquarium, there's something beyond its walls. This sensation, this beginning, is called spiritual birth. And onward, the science of Kabbalah goes on to explain how we attain and what we attain with our new desires, with our new abilities, in expanding them in this world that we're discovering. Our world is attained through our animal senses, and the spiritual world is attained through these external senses. They are called the desires of a person, on the level of a person. They are called, they are of the type Adam, Adam comes from the word similar, as in similar to the light. Likewise, bestowing. Bestowing and feeling outside of himself. So in general, the science of Kabbalah, boils down to a person for whom this question arises of what is this meaning of life, to give this person a method to exit from himself, to ascend to the next level, from the level of the inanimate to the vegetative, to the animal, the animate. These are the levels of our world. This is us. Our world, Rav writes. And on the next level, this is already the level of Adam, a person. Adam in Hebrew just means person. But the Hebrew word Adam comes from Dome, which is like, similar to. So when we ascend above our animal state, then we can see, again, what is this world in which we were in and which we continue to be in? But only our animal qualities. And so when we are on the level of this world, on the level of this, on this next level of Adam, on the fourth level of our existence, of our state, then we begin to feel ourselves together with this state. We connect with it. We begin to associate ourselves with it, and we look at all of our lower qualities, all of our lower states, as temporary. And we don't really need them. We begin to exist to such an extent in this new desire that this earthly life, this existence on the inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels, which is what we feel now, this is not what we consider the most important. To such an extent, as it's written in Kabbalistic texts, that a person needs to come to a state where his body, his physical body, may die, and he doesn't sense it as his own death, as in, I am dying. There's no such thing, because I am in a higher level of desire, a desire which is not connected to my animal body. This is the state we have to attain. And to this, each person and every person is able to reach it, especially in our generation, especially those who have this need to exit from the sense of our world. Besides this, the science of Kabbalah says that everyone must come to this. Everyone must arrive at this. And all the thousands of years that Kabbalah was concealed was because only individuals felt this pressure in them. And they did reveal this Kabbalah in them, inside of them. And it was concealed from everyone else because people weren't developed enough to have such a desire, such a need exist in them. In our time, we have this depression, this divorce, global crisis, this sensation of interdependence on one another. So we feel ourselves in this circle that I drew, but only in a negative way. But in our time, the opposite, says the science of Kabbalah. When the past egoistic development has finished, it's done. It's not essential any longer for us. For us, it's not enough anymore. We want something more. Of course I want to exist with maximal comfort, because our animal body still aspires towards this. But this comfort doesn't give us the most essential thing, the meaning of life. And so the science of Kabbalah is revealed, and it says that today we are in a transitive state with all of humanity to reveal this global state as a crisis, both individual and common. And we're striving toward ascending above to the next level of existence with this method. So, to gather in during these congresses, to connect our desires, besides the fact that we are here together, there are many, many millions of friends in the whole world, which literally cover the entire world, the whole globe, from Chile to North America to Australia, Japan, China. Our friends have also traveled to many places in our center, from our center. There's a delegation that went to Beijing. There's one in Siberia. There's one that's here. I think something like 160 people just came here. Besides that, there are mirror congresses in San Francisco and other cities of the world, and so on. This is an enormous force. If we're going to think about them, it'll be much easier for us to exit, to ascend above ourselves in this new desire. This is our desire. This is on our level. Because a person is created alone, and then it's as if he broke into many, many pieces, parts of himself. And so gathering together in one single desire, we come to the root, the basis of our existence and creation. This is what Kabbalah is talking about. And this principle and cause, this is the principle and cause by which we gather here today. From this, we may understand what's written in Kabbalistic texts. On one hand, it talks about how, in what way we should gather. Number one, unity. Unity. And about this is spoken in all the articles and all the letters of the great Kabbalists. And the second is the quality of the upper light, the quality of that upper state which we must attain to invoke this influence upon us of this upper light. I'm going to write it as O-M, or Makir, the surrounding light. In other words, this upper state that we are, that we're trying to place ourselves into. Now, the difficulty is in the realization. There's a big difficulty in this. There's a difficulty in understanding the realization. This is true. There is a difficulty in understanding the words of the Kabbalists. And, but however, these, all this information is gradually attained in a person by his study. So, it doesn't matter how you call it, but essentially you're exiting from yourself into these upper states, and the second is calling forth an influence of the upper light. Starting with books which were written by great Kabbalists, the first book was written, that was written in Kabbalah, was written by Adam, the Adam. It's called Azrael Malach, the secret angel. The next book was written by Abraham. It's called Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. Afterwards, we have the Tanakh, the five books of the Bible, the Torah, and the main book in Kabbalah is the Book of Zohar, which was written almost 2,000 years ago. This is the principal book of Kabbalah, which entails inside of it, which consists of all the previous texts. After it was written, it was concealed until our time. Because as we said, humanity didn't have these questions. Why do we need this next level of existence? We have this world. It's enough for us. Even 50 years ago, America was screaming that all we need is this industry, we don't need anything else, and now all of a sudden we have this world crisis. So, after the Book of the Zohar, after 16 centuries, there was another book there were a number of books written by a great Kabbalist named Ari. These are fundamental books in Kabbalah. We study them also with the interpretation of Baal HaSulam. Baal HaSulam, who lived in the 20th century, our teacher, he brought these commentaries closer to us, the Book of Zohar and the Book of Ari. These books he brought closer to us through his interpretation. That's why we only study his sources. And now, specifically these sources. And these sources may be divided into two. One talks about the work of a person, how he should unify, how he should connect with others which are like him in this spiritual movement. And the second part is the quality of the upper world, the upper energy which we desire in studying it, to call it upon ourselves, to invoke it. This is the study of, this is the Book of the Tree of Life. And everybody that studies with us, they see which text we study. The study of Kabbalah must be according to the original sources and not according to some random Kabbalists that appear in our time. The science of Kabbalah goes from Adam. He was the first one to begin this study, from him and onward. And it goes along a chain, from teacher to student, teacher to student, teacher to student. So there can't be some Kabbalist suddenly somewhere, and having read something, he can begin to imagine and start interpreting and giving all sorts of commentaries for Kabbalah. So a teacher prepares for himself a student, which continues, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, down the line until our time. Therefore, I also received my knowledge from the great last Kabbalist, Rabash, of the 20th century, and you're getting it from me. So, this is the first condition for studying Kabbalah correctly, and the second are the sources. We have the Zohar, the books of Ari, and the books of Baal HaSulam are the fundamental, practically the only books that we can study. They are written in such a way for our time, for our generation, to address these problems that we must solve. And how do we gather together? How do we work upon ourselves? How do we reveal this upper field which descends on us, determines everything that happens to us, determines all of our thoughts, desires, individually and generally? All of this is described in many articles of the Rabash and many articles of Baal HaSulam. So we have everything and desire in everyone. Of course, it's small, but it's there. Otherwise, we wouldn't spend so much time and energy and power and strength to come here together. And all of our friends around the world. So we have all the conditions. We just ended up in such a wonderful state in this great time and this wonderful opportunity to reveal for us eternity. So we can ascend above the angel of death, as it's called, and attain the eternal and perfect sensation of ourselves and everyone around us above our animal body. This is, in general, what Kabbalah offers, and I hope that in these following days in which we are together, everyone that prepared for this, for our state, and everyone that's not prepared but suddenly appeared in it, even not knowing how he got here, but, you know, in the future he'll find out why he was put here with everybody else. All of us, during these 3 days, together with our friends in the whole world, don't forget, this is an enormous force. And we're helping each other mutually. All of us, during these 3 days, will attempt to create a field of unity, a global field, which is unified, integrated, in which we will feel inside of it, will be able to feel the manifestation of these upper vibrations. This isn't mysticism, this isn't meditation, under no circumstances. This is a real sense of the upper state, which is based on the commonality of desires and the surrounding light.
We will attempt internally. We don't have need hugs if you don't want to, force smiles if you don't want to, inner drive, inner impulse of people that understand that are not in our world, which is integral, which is goes through crisis, because we are opposite to this integral nature. Can be another solution. We need to come to harmony, resonance with nature, to feel ourselves as nature does, eternal and perfect. I wish luck to all of us. I've finished my introduction at this point, and you maybe perhaps have a question for me. How do you want us to manage the question? Or organizers, managers? Ah, here we have one mic, and there's another. Well, go ahead. I'm offering you a chance to ask a question. Can someone translate to me? Okay.
Eine große Rolle spielt ja in dem Zugang zur Kabbalah der Wunsch, die Welt zu verstehen. Was würden Sie den Menschen heute empfehlen, um die Wünsche, diesen Wunsch nach Sinnerfahrung wirklich zuzulassen, die Kraft des Wünschens auch zu akzeptieren und nicht zu verdrängen aus Angst, der Wunsch könnte nicht erfüllt werden und die Welt wäre sinnlos?
Алло, алло. А?
Ну,
Раф,
Раф.
Сейчас не так. В общем, она спрашивает.
She's asking in general, what is the role of the modern woman in this world? In this world.
Listen to what she's talking about and, you know, get used to being translated.
Viele Menschen haben die Frage, welche Wünsche sie zulassen können und wie die Wünsche auch in Erfüllung gehen.
Many people.
Give the mic to someone who doesn't understand.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Какие желания разрешаются вами? Какие желания можно
реализовать?
Это означает реализовать.
May be realized.
Нет, давайте так.
Let's do it in the following way. I know that lady. She's a scientist, and I'm very glad that she's here. Therefore, I'm asking to translate the question precisely. Let's organize, of course, in the middle cogens of holdups in the beginning, no problem. Therefore, we have that lecture. We have like a run-up to the Congress.
Dem Wunsch nachzugehen, dass das Leben sinnvoll ist, das herauszufinden.
How do you want to motivate people such that the people that have this desire, how can they find the meaning of their life? So in which way can you motivate this?
We're not motivating our desires. We are in the field. A field of the upper energy, which in turn is structured, organized into matter, like in the moment of the creation of our universe, from infinitesimal smallest speck of light, all of that upper light, our universe appeared, and then it spread as waves. The still vegetative and animate nature appeared. And we are in that state, in that field. And if a person feels desire above the still vegetative and animate state of his desire for another level, then the field, the magnetic field, which influences a charged particle, or magnetic fields that influence a metal object, pulls it to the point of its equilibrium with it. Same way, a person in any part of the world, suddenly I get a call or an email from a person who is or in Norway, or in Tanzania, or in Peru. And suddenly he writes to me. Where did he know about it from? Where did he hear about us from? He doesn't know about that. He's been led by that inner desire which is inside that upper light energy. He's being led gradually, suddenly, or to our internet website, or to a book, or he hears something. It happens the same way to each one, because our material is inside that field. And that's why each and every one of us has found it the same way, unknown to him. He's found that force, that source. And once he does, he exists in it, and he comes here, and there are people here who accidentally show up on the Congress, and further in connection with other people, they find out how they can progress further. Yes, please. If you don't have questions, I'm going to continue speaking. It's going to be worse. Adjust it, otherwise the voice comes out in basses. I have a game with them all the time. Who's more clever?
Test. Вопрос. Sie sprechen immer von Verbindung.
Rav, you're always talking about unity. Between everyone, between ourselves. Today we have, there are many, many of us. Please explain how we can use this time at the Congress most effectively to reach maximal unity between us.
We have to try to understand that we're between two forces. On the one hand, we're inside huge egoism of ours. That's all of our essence. On the other hand, we've been given small points in the heart. So here is me, huge egoistic heart, nasty. And within it, a small desire of some kind. And that desire is pointed upwards. It doesn't know where exactly it's directed. And that beastly heart of mine pulls me in all kinds of directions, somewhere below, downwards. That and these desires of mine include all kinds of things: food, sex, family, or homestead. All of that are animal body, animal desires on the level of our body. Together with them, in addition, social desires: wealth, power, fame. Fame and power are together, and so envy, jealousy, and above that, knowledge. These are social desires. Social desires. And these are bodily desires. We're consistent of them. So is our heart. They all are us. And that new desire that appeared from nowhere, that doesn't let us in peace, that even if I'm filled with all of this knowledge and power and filth and fame, even if I am full of them, I lack something. I'm lacking something, something upper. What exactly am I missing? I don't know. But when I have that question, which arises in me, it just kills everything within me. I don't need my life anymore. I don't need any wealth and happiness on these levels. I'm beginning to ask that without an attainment of something more, something greater, I'm less than man. I'm not human. Everything is empty. Therefore, we, most importantly, have to reach in this Congress through these, during these few days, to attempt all of the other desires somehow cancel from within ourselves. In other words, not to make them stick, you know, to don't make them stick out. Most importantly, we have to make that desire dominate. I don't know what exactly it is for, but it gives us the opportunity to come up, upwards, and to sustain, to keep that desire above ourselves, to first to unite all of our desires into one big desire, and second, to invoke the light, that new state of ours, that new state of in the unification of our supreme level, of our upper level, the level of Adam, human being. That's what we have to achieve throughout these few days, and that sensation needs to be present, be revealed in each one of us. Some people are more sensitive, some less, some more prepared, some less. It doesn't mean anything. It's like a kid in our world, a child. It's born in 21st century, and he's granted. Everything is prepared for him throughout these millennia, throughout 20 centuries, or even more. Let's say beginners, the newcomers that are here, those who raised their hand, there might be a third of the audience, and around the world could be tens of thousands of them. Doesn't matter if these people are new. Despite of them, the fact that they're new, together with them, we're supplying them with spiritual support, like a little baby that is born. Therefore, Kabbalah doesn't relate to people as veterans or new beginners or whatnot. If a person is included in the rest, he can advance. together with them and receive the same as all the rest. Therefore, you shouldn't be thinking that you have to spend years or the experience has to is at play here. No. And are there any questions? Hello, my name is Batya. I'm from Israel. I would like to discuss the role of people, of women. Lately you mentioned a lot, can I continue, that the role of a woman is greater, taking on a greater scale. And I find myself between two extremes. On the one hand, that there are women who take this in a fanatical direction, to push the man aggressively sometimes. On the other hand, there's a passive side. I would like to know, what would help us find the thin border, thin margin, to do it delicately? How can we realize this thing? I'm really confused.
И есть женщины, которые реализуют как бы свою роль фанатично, давят на мужчин, толкают их, а есть женщины, которые действуют более скромно. Вопрос, где находится правильный способ действия женщины, какова их роль в этом?
Вопрос очень непростой. Понятно.
Okay, the question is a complicated one, and I understand. Women are more than half of the population of the world. In our Kabbalistic community, society, we have about 60% women, I think, and women are more, they suffer more in this world, they suffer a greater lack of fulfillment in this world. A woman can be looking, a man can be looking at a woman and already feel pleasure just by looking at her. A woman doesn't feel any pleasure just from looking at a man. It's written in Kabbalah in this way. Moreover, our life is worked out in such a way that a woman is just more, she's in a poorer state than a man. And of course, these questions about the meaning of life appear in her. Although she tolerates them better, they appear in her more difficultly and more often. Kabbalah writes about, it's written about this in Kabbalah, not very much. There isn't a lot written about it. These principles are given, but practically, in which way to organize, to realize the women's and men's groups, how to divide them, to connect them in each society, depending on the society, depending on the mentality, the level of upbringing. This isn't anywhere, and we're trying now, basing on what we see before us, we're trying to practically to come to terms with it. We have to understand that Kabbalah is a purely experimental science, like any science. Everything is based on experiment. In other words, what a person reveals in the world, in the higher levels above him, are revealed in the same way as the sciences of this world. From practice, from a clear and consistent method, he records the conclusions, transmits them to others. Others try to do to recreate the experiments. And theories that are given go into a certain database. Then you have tables from this created, you have schematics, and over thousands and thousands of years, Kabbalists have worked on this, and each has added his own little bit. And Kabbalists also, the more they advance along with humanity, the greater their egoism is in each of them. Since humanity grows in its egoism, and Kabbalists also become more and more egoistic, therefore, the further they advance, the more opportunity they have in the spiritual world, in their studies to advance. Therefore, the science developed like any sciences in our world, coming from the egoism of the observer. And so, today we also develop according with us. We're on a very serious and high level of development in the development of Kabbalah, and we added a lot to Kabbalah without any sort of modesty. We can say that before the year 1990 and what was after him. He died in 1991, and after him we moved forward through the last 20 years. We made huge progress. Many, many books, articles, films, in the internet, everywhere. We developed, we broke this ground, and although I'm willing to admit that we truly did a lot, this is a huge amount of people. Myself, I didn't do anything. But in the adaptation of a woman to Kabbalah, we did very little. And this is a problem which stands before us today. It's very difficult to approach it. Right now, we're beginning to talk about the upbringing of children. Over the last few years, we approached it, and we announced this as the year of putting everything into the development of the method of the upbringing of the next generation. Because if we give them the correct upbringing once to our children, then they will raise our grandchildren correctly. So we're trying to create this system of education and upbringing. An enormous amount of people are participating in this. And we're writing this and maintaining this method of upbringing up to age 15, 16, starting from about 6. And there are a huge amount of women that are participating in this, and this is a very clear method of working with children in groups, special groups which are integrated in the inclusion of the children in the discussion, in forums and so on. It's a whole separate sort of topic. And the problem of education and upbringing is the biggest problem in humanity. Because we give an education, but we don't give them an upbringing. A person stays as an animal, it doesn't become a person. So now we're starting to begin to work with it. We've accumulated instruments to work with it. We have a separate building, four floors, which has our children's department, and there are many groups that work there that are working on this problem, that work with children, that develop this method. People that are educated in this. And besides this, also study Kabbalah on this basis, performing these experiments with the children. We have hundreds of children. All of this is being developed. This is with the children, and now with the women. I'm coming back to this question, but I can't answer it specifically. I can't answer it precisely. It's a very difficult question because on one hand, it's perfectly clear to us in all the groups, in all the world, that the women's part of the group is the determining part of the group. A woman in the group is the basis of the group. It's like the house where the wife, she is in charge of the house. No matter where you go, in all religions and all cultures, all nations, a woman is a woman. There's no substitute for her. Same thing in the group. Although the group gathers under a spiritual purpose, and we're all aspiring upwards. And I'm just talking about just practice. I don't want any theories or philosophy. We see from practice, from our own experience, if the women's part of the group is strong, is massive, it creates in a group stability. Men are unable, under any circumstance, to maintain a group between themselves. What can force them to unite and direct towards the goal is the women. As a woman directs her child and takes care of it and waits for him after school and does everything, the women's part of the group must also perform this work with them, even if they don't say anything. Even if they just passively are active in the group, their presence makes the group stable, goal-oriented, and only under this condition is there a chance to reach the goal. But how to work with the men and the women together? This is a problem because it's very difficult to work with men, not the women. And to draw all of this up so that, on one hand, it would be correct, it wouldn't go out of the framework of even animal relations, to maximally direct yourself towards the goal, all of this still demands a lot of work.
By the way, we have a great request of women that are sitting here. We are really in need for women who would wish to seriously engage in a development of method of women's spiritual work. We really need that. It's necessary. In other words, psychologists and teachers and Kabbalists together with that. We need all of that. We need to present the world with the correct instruction. We're still lacking that. I'm not really trying to be too hush-hush this issue. I would like to make it more, to stress it even, because Kabbalah is being developed right now as a method of development of a new society, of a new world, a new society that we have to construct. It's not going to be levitating in the clouds somewhere up there, which is somehow in the new dimension. That dimension is between us. And the world will continue to exist, and we will continue to live in it, but our sensations will be different. And therefore, we have to create a new society, new communion, in which naturally women will have a different status there. I have a tough time talking about that topic, but we're going to touch upon it later on.
Good day. Victor from Germany. I have the following question. Why is the process of asking a question so difficult? Why can't you take this inner process of asking a question and transform it into an external thing?
The same people agree with you. Because if a person is feeling pain, he screams. He doesn't know what exactly is wrong. So we invite a doctor to make a diagnosis. If a little kid feels pain, he can't tell exactly where he feels the pain. In general, he knows that he feels the pain in his stomach or leg, but not precisely. It takes a lot of time to formulate out of the inner pain and inner disharmony, something bothering me, to to precisely pinpoint what is this discernment of solid body, what they are for, what should I do with them. These are the process of inner growth. We've studied that the light needs to go through four stages before he builds the correct desire for it. First, I feel something. I don't know what. Next, I suddenly feel an opposite state to it, that I have felt one time, and now I used to feel sometime, and now I'm not feeling. So, and next stage is that I feel both, and I compare both, compare between them, and out of these two opposite sensations, I come to an opinion of what that really is, and out of that opinion, summary, I begin to realize the source, where it is coming from. It's a sequence of inner fruition of a person, inner growth, until he comes to a point where he can say, yes, this is exactly what my question is all about. And the answer that needs to come to that question. It's not easy. And us should explain it like we do it to a baby. He's screaming. We need to approach him and ask what is wrong, although he cannot explain. We have to come to that common point of understanding. But this problem exists on each level. If you ask me, I have the same thing. When I have to advance, everything is unclear. I don't know why it is. I don't know the cause and effect, what are the ties are between things. And that sequence, that chain of cause and effect begins to form, and it's going to be formulated as a question. And when you have a question, that leads to the answer. And then again, it's complicated. I don't understand what and who, and I have pushes. I don't have anything clear. So you have to work on questions.
Maria from France, I have one question. I'd like to talk about the country. During our lives, we are essentially existing in solitary. I had a hard time growing up.
C'est des questions que je me posais. Pourquoi moi? Qu'est-ce que je fous? Et je voulais plus vivre parce que pour moi c'était une forme d'injustice quelque part. Mais je me suis quand même accrochée parce que je pense que le Créateur a voulu que je reste là, bien évidemment. Et je me suis justement.
Pourrais-tu parler par des petites phrases parce que sinon c'est très compliqué. Difficile à traduire.
Если можно вопрос.
Et on demande la question.
Il faut grave.
Et la question c'est au niveau des souffrances en fait. Ce que les gens subissent c'est comment on peut
Как можем работать со страданиями?
How can we work with suffering? Why do they come to us? What should we do with them?
Without suffering, we won't be advancing. You can't advance without suffering. You can't move forward. Until we reach the end goal, we are moving ahead due to suffering. By the force of suffering. Suffering is that I'm missing something. I'm lacking something. It doesn't mean that I feel pain. I can even feel delight in them. If I'm looking forward to a delightful meal, a feast, and I'm approaching it, and if I feel I'm coming closer to a meeting with a loved one, with a friend, something good. But it's a suffering. It's not even a suffering. It's a sensation of that hunger, of that empty space in which, to begin with, I'm feeling that just in an instance, just in a little while, this emptiness is going to be filled with delight. Therefore, our whole problem is not that what we're feeling right now is an absence of a lacking, or whether where there is a fulfillment of that lacking in the future, if there is. then that sensation of hunger is like I'm expecting a nice meal. I feel good with that because it's getting a bit filled. It's like you're gonna have a date with a loved one, a loved person, special one in the evening, and you know that it's gonna be a meeting, a date. It's gonna be a special interaction. Is this gonna be is it a suffering or not? That anticipation.
She didn't get the translation for some reason. She didn't hear what you said. At the end, she didn't understand.
If you have a date in the evening with your loved person, you're going to feel a delight, an anticipation, or suffering in the morning.
Avec ton bien-aimé le soir, est-ce que durant le jour tu souffres ou non?
Она еще думает?
She's still thinking.
Tu réfléchis encore?
Француженка?
A French girl?
Si tu as.
She can't imagine a thing like that?
Le soir, par exemple. Durant la journée, tu dois attendre.
То есть я хочу сказать, что проблема не в
состоянии. What I want to say is the problem isn't in my state, but it's in will. It's in the resolution of my state.
Que tu attends cette rencontre.
En fait, je ne parle pas de cette souffrance-là en vérité. Comment vous expliquer? Moi, je ne parle pas des souffrances ou. Enfin, ce genre de souffrance, ce n'est pas plutôt ça, mais plutôt des gens qui subissent des choses comme la maltraitance, le viol, des choses assez atroces pour ces gens-là. C'est plutôt ce côté-là. C'est pour ça que j'ai insisté sur les souffrances subies, non pas des souffrances de.
First of all, let her calm down.
Relax.
Relax.
The problem is in that humanity, a person, doesn't see the correct future. It doesn't see a good future. This is the problem. This is why they feel suffering. If we felt, she's already getting the translation. If we felt that today we had problem, we had answers to all of our current problems, and this answer is good, we wouldn't feel this as suffering now, but as an essential, a necessary preparation, a necessary state before fulfillment. So our whole problem is in revealing in our state the future, and then everything will be good. But in order for it to illuminate to us as a good future, and this will be the answer for everything. So according to this, we will pass through the states that we pass through in our correction, and these are unpleasant, different states. We have descents, ascents, all sorts of confusion in feelings and in reason. But if ahead of us we know, basing on our environment, on our surroundings, that in the future there's a wonderful future, then any current state will not seem as suffering. We won't be afraid of it, but it'll seem like a necessary sense of hunger before receiving pleasure from a meal. In spirituality, there is a very clear motion of cause and effect. If I don't have a complete feeling of hunger, desire, let's call it, to the next stage, the next step, I don't have a so-called kli, a vessel, a quality in order to feel it. I don't feel it. You need a threshold. I have to ascend from my step to the next step. This is my desire. Desire number one, Rav writes. This is desire number two, let's call it. Now, if I ascend it to the next one, to the next level of desire, then on this desire, what we have, this source of light, which is here, I feel it. And if not, if I haven't attained this desire yet, but I'm here, somewhere in the middle, you have 10 full steps, 10 sefirot, as they're called. If I haven't passed them till the very last, I have to climb all the way up. Only when I cross over it, then I begin to feel the next state. It's the same thing as quantized atoms. There's nothing in between. It's a very direct method. Everything is graduated according to its level. It's not continuous, and we can't do anything about it. So between my first desire, in which I felt some fulfillment, like the sun was shining to me, and my next state, there is this state, this intermediary, which is practically empty. Hunger, suffering, as you say. But if I know that I'm going forward, this is an accumulative process. It will finish, and then I will come to my fulfillment, to my joy, to my happiness, then this process of attaining this new desire, it directs me forward correctly. The sensations themselves of the confusion, of the bad states, of this misunderstanding, this sensation of emptiness is driving me forward. They're pushing me forward faster. They're actually helping. And now in these states, if I felt any sort of fulfillment or pleasure, they would bring me to a halt. Involuntarily, it would be very difficult for me to walk forward. Why would I drive forward out of goodness? My egoism would force me to sit and without motion. Therefore, we have to relate correctly to suffering to understand their purposefulness and how to use this suffering. As soon as I direct them correctly, the suffering turns into anticipation for a future expected pleasure. So we have to master this method, and life will turn into something wonderful for you. I see by her expression that she agrees.
Shalom, I'm Damir from Croatia.
I didn't hear it.
From Croatia.
It's Croatia.
It's Hrvatia.
Oh, it's from Croatia.
It's Hrvatia. You spoke many times about entering psychology and education. With ideas of Kabbalah.
Вы много раз говорили о том, чтобы вдохновлять, чтобы внедрять идеи Каббалы в психологию и в ученость.
I teach psychology at university.
Я преподаю психологию в университете.
And
psychology?
Yes, psychology. And what I saw that psychologists are like other scientists. They are very narrow-minded in their field.
И то, что я заметил, это то, что даже психологи, они как и остальные все ученые, да, они очень сужены в своем мнении.
I once did a lecture about concepts of Kabbalah.
Я как-то сделал лекцию с концептами Каббалы.
But in terms of systems theory, theory of systems.
Но в плане теории системы.
And although we speak with the same language in emotions, desires,
и несмотря на то, что мы говорим тем же самым языком желаний и каких-то эмоций,
it doesn't enter their mind.
Это не входит в их мозг.
It is they cannot connect to it.
Они к этому не подсоединяются.
So how should we approach psychologists? How should we introduce these concepts of Kabbalah in psychology?
Как нам подходить к психологам? Как нам внедрить вот эти вот элементы в психологию?
Я на протяжении десятков лет,
over decades, I've been involved. Actually, I exited. I come from the academic world. I came out of it, but I respect it. They try to learn something about themselves and an environment. Certainly, they're led by egoistic properties, but it's a person. What can you do? Psychologists, philosophers, those who are engaging in research of the inner world of a person, theory of knowledge. Parallel to that, there are scientists who are studying all kinds of closed systems and so forth. All of them come out in their search from the proposition which is based on our nature. And they themselves and what they're based upon, the entire science. Science, as we have already discussed many occasions, is revealed in our five senses. What we are receiving in our five senses is what we're receiving, what we're sensing. And based on these sensations, the science is constructed. Naturally, such science is absolutely egoistical because it's based on sensations in ego, our basic nature, basic attribute. And naturally, neither the philosophers and psychologists and psychiatrists cannot understand Kabbalah because it works with opposite attributes and are not in any way closer to attainment of Kabbalah than any other people. Because in order to know Kabbalah, you have to have that point in the heart, that red dot I draw here. If a person has an aspiration to know what is above him, not based on intellectual search, as the students of the philosophical department in the university, but based on the need, his personal search he has, then he comes to the sensation and understanding of what Kabbalah is talking about, but slowly, after a lot of and many, many years of studying, serious studying. When at first people don't understand what it talks about, people coming for the first period of time, they're sitting and listening and nodding, you know, like that. It's just a motion of nodding. He doesn't have any inner sensations that which have been formed by the light, which are adequate to what Kabbalah is talking about. But gradually it happens when you have to wait. As children are growing over a period of 20 years, a person becomes an adult, and after that he becomes ready to live in the same world which he was born in, and the whole environment of his in this world. Just look at it. How many years? 20 years it takes us to come to, you know, to some kind of independence. Until that age, he's with his mother. We're talking about this world. Imagine the other world, which I don't have any clue about. I don't have any approach to it. How can I adapt to it if I don't feel it? The books are talking to me about it. I don't know what they're talking about. So everything boils down to the influence of the surrounding light. Only that. We have just to take these people, put them under the influence of the upper light, in other words, to insert them in the right environment and evoke, induce, generate, thanks to the studies, the light which will reform, and after a few months we will see the results. That's what we have. If he's ready to that, he can succeed. If not, not. It doesn't have anything to do of the amount of knowledge he has accumulated in this world, because he has accumulated knowledge about this world, in this area, inside the aquarium. So how can that help him? There, everything is different. Even if he is a great scientist in this world, you know, bring us an Einstein here. Suddenly, you'll find that he's completely insensitive to whatever we're talking about. But a simple fellow that's sitting in front of me understands, and he doesn't. So, it's said about it, not a wise man who learns. No. By no means, only the extent to which he has a point in the heart and the way he correctly submits himself to the influence of the surrounding environment, of the group and of the upper light. From the two directions, their influence, the point in the heart, and it grows, it expands, and he begins to feel the tense sephirot inside of it. He rises this 10 degrees, tense sephirot, and suddenly, hop, he feels and understands what they're talking about. Ah, this is what they were talking about. Now I understand.
Please.
Ich bin Stefan.
Aus der Hamburger Gruppe. Меня зовут Стефан, я из Гамбургской группы.
I'm Stefan from the Hamburg group.
Wir treffen uns hier unter dem Schlagwort Harmonie.
Мы встречаемся здесь под мотом.
We meet here under the motto of harmony.
Гармония. Наше мото нашего конгресса.
The motto of the Congress.
Und das Wort Harmonie ist eigentlich etwas, was man gar nicht hinterfragt. Man wird damit groß. Ich würde gerne wissen, wovon spricht ein Kabbalist, wenn von Harmonie spricht?
And harmony is such a large concept. The question is, what does a Kabbalist mean when they say harmony?
Kabbalist, when he's talking about harmony, he means complete equivalence to the upper level. This energy, this information, so-called light, which exists around us, that we have to come in full contact, being dissolved in it. Not in a way that our ego disappears, our self disappears, but to being dissolved in a way that him and myself are one. So such harmony is our purpose. And the whole of humanity. Has descended from the level of so-called the world of infinity, harmony, that everything there was as one whole, one, oneness, and we have descended from that state gradually, coming down the five worlds called Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya, and have come down to the most opposite state, which is called our world. Certainly no harmony is present here. How should we call that world? Chaos. A woman said correctly. More names? Well, there's no name. Darkness. We wound up in that state, and over many thousands of years, I'm sorry that I'm drawing some here in some way down here in the corner, this is our history. We've been developing on the animal level, and now we're beginning to rise up to our first level of our spiritual development. That question that resounds within us, that global chaos, that we're beginning to feel mutual hatred, and together with that complete mutual dependence, and that complete mutual dependence comes to us from that first degree, where all of us have to be completely tied to one another, bonded to one another, to a certain degree, not in a complete way as up there, but 125th portion of that, complete unification. But that light is shining from that state upon us. That's why we're feeling our world is so dark, is completely torn, in complete hatred, in inability to come together and agree. Just watch this Davos meeting. They're helpless there. They won't be able to achieve anything with all the agreements. Humanity will be faced with a state that either it decimates one another, or it comes to unity, to harmony. The question is how that will be realized, and they will see that there's no other option than to take that method and implement it. That method that, as we study, was revealed in the ancient Babel. They will grab onto it. Babylon. But there are people who have that question, that have inner development to have that question, or the whole world would come to an end. So that sensation of lack of harmony, of darkness, of chaos, a sensation which is opposite to this next degree that we have to reach, the step from where the opposite is shining upon us, the unity, the integral nature, oneness. These two states is something that we're experiencing right now. Therefore, our world on this transition state is in motion towards approaching that first degree. It's the most complicated, tough period to break through if we, all of our egoistic, Kabbalistic group, tens of thousands of people around the world, from one Congress to the next, will increase the potential, the tension between us. And we'll go to all kinds of states. What we're doing that for? We can't achieve anything. We're helpless to reach unity. But we have to. Otherwise, why am I engaged in this? Well, this whole world and life is pointless. We have to go through these desperations. But nevertheless, demand from ourselves, from within ourselves, in order to be able to reach unity. If all of that within us is going to be realized, then us, at least us, the small part of humanity will be able to reach. If we succeed in that, it will be like a lifeline for the whole humanity. And that harmony which is going to be felt by us, within us, it will be felt by the entire humanity as some kind of pool, some kind of magnet, which will bring them closer. Like today, all kinds of individuals are being pulled by.
This is where we have to get. So this answer, what is this harmony that we're talking about, that Kabbalah is talking about? It's when everybody uniting into one single form called Adam, a unified desire, a unified soul, inside of which is manifested our next level of eternal and perfect existence. And this is perfectly achievable. And it depends on, well, give it a try.
I would like to ask a follow-up question. It's not my fault. My wife has given me this note.
And
Is he always like that, Rabbi? I'm sorry.
It's not his wife. It's another word. Of course, that is better. Of course.
Was kann die Gruppe tun?
The first question is what would the group could do, what a group could do, except unity, unifying between us, coming together, having the right intention, eating together. What should they be reading? Zohar, Ari, something else? So the first question is, the most important question is, what should we be doing, should they be doing, when they're meeting in group?
What should we be doing during our meeting? Everyone, every hour that we have given to this meeting, during it and before it, we should only be thinking about how to include ourselves in one joined, unified desire. Everything depends on how much we can desire to manifest the quality of unity inside of us. Every natural process, and nature is one. It's not divided in itself into spiritual and material. It's one nature. Only we divide it with respect to us. Because right now we're in one qualities, and later we can be in different qualities, or we can be in both. But nature is one. It's common. It's one single whole. See, over here you have the world, harmony, and infinity. In this nature, there is one single law, the law of equivalence, of similarity. In other words, that to which we are similar, we sense. That to which we are similar occurs in us. We are in an ocean of a quality called the Creator, or the quality of bestowal. This is an enormous thought, a force, a quality, and all of it only emanates. It only gives. And we, from our side, are the consumers. We want to pull everything into us. If we want to pull everything out of it, to just snatch what our small egoistic desire can consume, which is very small, this state which fulfills us is called our world. This fulfillment which is felt by my desire. And that's it. And even that, look what happens in it. Next. If we, together with you, begin to become similar to this field, to this light, to this state, then we'll begin to feel Him, ourselves together with it, with Him. This is what we have to do. And this state will be called big. The upper world, the spiritual state, doesn't matter how. This is what we need to aspire to during all of these hours in which we are here. How is this meeting useful? Everyone influences everyone else. Everyone influences everyone else. Don't feel yourself as an individual. Under no circumstances should you isolate yourself inside yourself. How am I influenced by others? It's very simple. I enter there and I want to find out what they have, what's there, what sort of desires, what thoughts, what propels them, what goals. I'm directed entirely toward just absorbing everything, toward consuming everything that they have. If each of us will feel in this way, such a need inside themselves to consume everything from everyone around them, this will be enough for us to begin to unite. I'm not saying that we have to think simultaneously about how to be nice to everyone, to love each other, no. Just think at least about how we can take this enormous desire, which is here between us now and between our friends in the world. If we can, just a little, I'm talking simply from the side of egoism, each of us will create such a vessel of perception that they'll be able to sense 1,000 times more than right now. They will receive such a level of sensation that he will be lifted above the framework of his current material world. Everything depends on us. Try to be this greedy. This greedy for the influence of everyone around you. I must finish our meeting here. This is what I'm being told. You know, like this, getting this finger. Now, the next thing, we're probably going to get an announcement. Somebody will announce the next activity. Prepare your questions. Prepare any... Well, you know, basically questions. More women, please. Don't be shy. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll end up singing something. We're sort of wilting like flowers. Wow. That was loud. I didn't mean that loud.
שבלב לעולם יש תקווה אנושות חדשה חוק אחד מחבר את כולנו ביחד לכולם משותף הכאב הבחירה היא שלך לשנות הגישה צריך ללמוד איך לתת במקום איך לקחת זו לא סתם תיאוריה נחזור לחיות בהרמוניה החוק הוא ברור שאהבה זה חיבור אתה ואני שורים אחד לשני עכשיו ביחד הולכים אל העולם נפתחים אתה ואני שורים בלב הכללי כולנו כבר מסכימים ערבותית נהיה No longer concealed. One step at a time, we'll walk together. We all share the pain. No choice but to change. Let's learn how to give. Make no mistake. It's not just a theory. With love, we are set free.